Blog Talk Radio.
For radio as godless as our Constitution, tune in to Free Thought Radio.
We're tracking missionaries in public schools, officials who foolishly fight science during the pandemic.
Then we speak with FFRF attorney Ryan Jane about Catholic crimes against minors.
And hear a devastating retelling by Philip Appleman of the story of Noah.
This is the news in brief from the United Nations. A former Ugandan warlord whose forces attacked camps for the internally displaced has been found guilty of war crimes and crimes against humanity at the International Criminal Court, judges ruled on Thursday. The court, based in the Netherlands, found that Dominic Ongwen led multiple grave violations in the north of the country in the early 2000s as part of a long-standing armed insurgency dating back to the 1980s. As a brigade commander of the Lord's Resistance Army, LRA, Mr. Ongwen sanctioned murder of large numbers of civilians, forced marriage, sexual slavery, and the recruitment of child soldiers to participate actively in hostilities, among other grave crimes, the court heard. Attacks against civilians were justified by the reasoning that they were associated with the government and were therefore the enemy of the insurgents. Here's presiding judge Bertram Schmidt reading the verdict.
The killing of civilians was not confined to ODEC IDP campsite. Some civilians abducted from the camp were killed when they struggled or tried to escape. LRA fighters killed a young abductee because his feet were too swollen and he was unable to walk any further.
Although the court noted that Mr. Ongwen suffered greatly after being abducted by the LRA as a 9-year-old child, it noted that he was being put on trial for crimes committed as a fully responsible adult and as a commander of the LRA in his mid to late 20s. A new international bid to vaccinate 500 million people against COVID-19 has been announced for poorer countries in a bid to stop potentially deadly coronavirus mutations from developing in unvaccinated pockets of the world. The initiative, led by the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, IFRC, comes as the organization noted that nearly 70% of vaccine doses administered so far have been in the world's 50 wealthiest countries. Only 0.1% of vaccines have been administered in the 50 poorest countries, the IFRC said. Jagan Shapagan, Secretary General of the IFRC, warned that inequitable immunization was alarming and could prolong or even worsen the pandemic. The $110 million plan will see Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies support national vaccination efforts. To Iran now, where UN human rights experts have said that they're worried that the recent increase in executions of minority Baloch prisoners is set to continue. The alert from the special rapporteurs, who are independent of the UN and appointed by the Human Rights Council, comes after the hanging last weekend of Javid Degan, who belonged to the Baloch community. Mr. Degan was put to death despite an appeal to the Iranian government from the UN Human Rights Office and others. They cited a lack of due process in his trial and repeated his claim that he'd been tortured into falsely admitting that he belonged to a jihadist group. In a statement on Thursday, the rights experts said that they had information showing that at least 21 Balochi prisoners have been executed in prisons at Zahedan, Mashhad and Isfahan since mid-December 2020. Many of them were convicted on drug or national security charges following flawed legal processes, the experts said, adding that more than 120 prisoners are reported to be on death row in Zahedan's main prison alone, including for crimes not involving intentional killing. Daniel Johnson, UN News.
This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Stan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Welcome to Free Thought Radio. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and happy February. If you're in the snow belt or the cold belt like we are, stay warm and everybody stay safe. And we're looking out the window at a very pretty snowfall right now.
And I'm Dan Barker, co-host of Free Thought Radio. This is the February 4th, 2021 Free Thought Radio show. Annie Laurie and I are hosting from our home in Madison, Wisconsin, while once again, Buzz Kemper is engineering from Audio for the Arts. That's his recording studio near the Wisconsin State Capitol.
And Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which regular listeners know has two purposes. We are a bunch of atheists and agnostics and skeptics and heretics, and we want reason to prevail and are like-minded and band together as an association. And we also work to keep religion out of government. We see how dangerous it is to have religion in government, and it's a hard battle, and we hope you'll join us today at ffrf.org.
And push us over 34,000. We have more than 33,000 members now in the nation.
I think we're over 34,000, but we lose members every, attrition every month. So, yep, we like to get to 35,000 as soon as possible, so help us do that. We speak with a much more powerful voice then.
In the second half of today's show, we're going to honor the life and work of Philip Appleman. He's the acclaimed poet, author, and Darwin scholar who died last year at the age of 94. And the anniversary of his birth date is this week. He was born February the 8th, 1926. He was a good friend, a longtime member of FFRF. In anticipation of Darwin's birthday on February 12th, we're going to hear Philip Appleman and his wife Marjorie read his hilarious epic poem, Noah.
And before that, in a few minutes, we will talk with FFRF staff attorney Ryan Jane about the Freedom From Religion Foundation's formal request to the Wisconsin Department of Justice to launch a statewide probe into the Roman Catholic clergy's serial sexual abuse and cover-up. About time.
We're also going to hear the words of Mark Twain, performed by the actor Hal Holbrook, who died last month. A few weeks ago, I was contacted by a member of a local blues band, Andy Smith, who does the vocals and the harmonica for the Madtown Mannish Boys. Madtown is a nickname for Madison, Wisconsin. Andy contacted me and said, I absolutely love what FFRF is saying and how you present it. And he said, most of the members of the band are sympathetic with the work that we do at FFRF. Today, we'll hear some of their blues tunes during the breaks, including Don't Misunderstand Me, Old Dog, Sorry, Sorry, and You Can't Hide.
This week on our TV show, Free Thought Matters, Dan speaks with ex-Muslim activist Armin Navabi, founder of the international support group Atheist Republic. When Dan asked Armin if he was raised as a believing Muslim, Armin had a surprising reply.
I went through phases of being very liberal and also very religious, and actually becoming very religious at some point against the wishes of my parents, which is actually it's strange because a lot of ex-Muslims deal with religious parents. My parents had to deal with a religious teenager that couldn't shut up about Islam and how they need to stop drinking alcohol and pray and fast. So I actually remember that when I eventually became an atheist, I told my parents that I'm an atheist now. Their first reaction was, oh, thank God.
That was Armin Navabi with Atheist Republic. You can catch that interview with Armin this Sunday on broadcast TV in Chicago, Denver, Houston, L.A., Madison, Wisconsin, Minneapolis, New York City, Phoenix, Portland, Oregon, Sacramento, Seattle, Washington, D.C., and also now in San Francisco. So for the stations and the broadcast times, check FFRF.org.
You got to go to the news link and look for the drop-down Free Thought Matters.
Or you can watch Free Thought Matters right now on FFRF's Free Thought Matters YouTube channel.
Yeah, Armin has a very dramatic story. So now there's been quite a bit of news. Before we get to that, we do want to say that once again, FFRF's Reagan ad featuring Ron Reagan has returned to MSNBC's Rachel Maddow show. It's been playing this week and it'll play three times next week. And here's how Ron ends the ad.
Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
Always makes me smile.
This week is the birthday of the comedian Chris Rock. He was born February 7th, 1965. His religious views are not known, but since he has been highly critical of religion, he sounds pretty much like a freethinker. Here's part of a stand-up comedy routine Chris Rock did when he was a young comic.
I got up like 9 o'clock this morning. Not because I wanted to, because Jehovah's Witnesses rang my bell. They knock on your door. Whoever answers the door, that's who Jesus is. Hello, did you know Jesus was black? Then they turn to one of the scriptures to justify this. It says right here, Luke, Jesus had hair like a lamb. He averaged 33 points a game. What do they do in a white neighborhood? You know, what do they do in an Irish neighborhood? Hey, did you know Jesus was an alcoholic? Jesus, nicest guy in the world when he wasn't drunk. When you're black, there's like no religion to turn to. It's like Christianity? I don't think so. White people justify slavery and segregation through Christianity, so a black Christian is like a black person with no memory.
A Christian with no memory. That was Chris Rock.
So he looks the same today as he did 20 years ago. Noticed he doesn't age.
So in the news, the Freedom From Religion Foundation is asking a Nebraska school district that has agreed to allow a religious group to preach to its students to cancel that proselytizing gathering, especially since it's going to be taken in the middle of a pandemic. Even with the COVID raging all around us, the Todd Becker Foundation is continuing its mission to go into the public schools to gather the students and preach to them about Jesus. Listen to how they describe their activities on their own webpage.
Ever since really the beginning of the ministry, the band, the music, the slide, the whole production, the whole really show was intended to ultimately point people to Jesus Christ. That's really the only reason why we do this. And so we hope that when people come to these events, they experience the power and the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ.
And Chris Line, our attorney who wrote that letter, points out that they tend to go to the smaller school districts and bypass the larger ones, and sort of they really aren't stealthy, but the smaller school districts are more apt to say yes to them.
Yeah, and they don't. Maybe they don't know what they're doing.
This is in Nebraska, but they tend to concentrate on certain states. And if you have a problem with this, you've got kids in the schools, let us know.
We've been complaining about the Todd Becker Foundation for many years in many different states, and that is unconstitutional.
So we do need to talk about what's going on a little bit in the state of Wisconsin. There's more possibly votes going on today, but we are telling the Wisconsin State Assembly, let the science speak and protect the mask mandate that Governor Tony Evers has given in everything he has done to try to stem the pandemic has been litigated by the GOP that dominate both houses here in the legislature. And we are going to be putting up a billboard here in Madison next week. We'll talk about that next week. But we've already put one up in Chicago aimed at education about the science and letting the science speak. And that is a bulletin-sized 14 by 48-foot bright blue billboard with an image of Charles Darwin wearing one of our popular masks, face masks, that says, "In science, I trust." And it looks like a photograph because we have a mannequin, a lifelike mannequin made of silicone that looks just like the real thing. He's in our library, Mr. Darwin. And he startles us when we walk by him.
And Chris put a mask on him for the photo.
Yeah, Chris Line is a talented photographer, our attorney, and he took a picture of him. And so there looks like a photograph of Charles Darwin. It does mention his name and that he was born February 12th. But it says, "In science we trust, please stay safe." But the billboard that we're going to put up in Madison gets a little more assertive. It says, "Masks on, sleeves up, stay safe." So aimed at our legislature, and it is beyond me how anyone in a pandemic could oppose a mask mandate, and these are mostly religionists.
Is that the billboard we drive by on the way to work? Will we be able
No, it will be on University Avenue in Madison. But the one in Chicago, if you're in that area, it is, let me see where that is. It's on Lincoln Avenue near Foster Avenue in Chicago's Lincoln Square neighborhood. It's going to be up through the end of February. And we want to thank our chapter leader there, Tom Cara, It's the FFRF Metropolitan Chicago chapter, and he's the executive director, and actually it's Tom Kara. And, of course, this is timely in two ways. We want to encourage everyone to keep safe by trusting in science and not superstition, and second, to give the respect that Charles Darwin, that scientific giant, deserves. We need to celebrate his birthday every year.
So there was a bad decision out of the Seventh Circuit this week.
Yes, there certainly was, and we issued a press release blasting this decision because FFRF played a part in it. Back in December of 2018, we demanded the removal of a Christian nativity display that's been erected every year on the lawn of a courthouse, the Jackson County Courthouse in Brownstown, Indiana. And our request ended up in a Save the Nativity rally. There were prayers. There was a speech by the president of the county commissioners. And then what they did was pretty devious. They moved some figures of Santa Claus and carolers closer to the Christian devotional scene. And they said, there, it's a secular display. It has nothing to do with Christianity. You know, it's a typical devotional display.
Well, was Santa praying?
And so then the Indiana ACLU went to court on behalf of an atheist named Rebecca Woodring. So FFRF was not in that lawsuit, but of course we were part of fomenting it. And Rebecca Woodring won. She had a federal ruling last May, and he said this conveys, the judge says this conveys religious endorsement. But the county appealed to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, and they were defended by the ultra-Christian nationalist right group Liberty Council, and they took it to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. In this week, there was a 3-judge panel decision, a very disappointing decision that
2-1, right?
2-1 decision that bodes trouble, where they said because it's been put up every year, it's historic, and they used a different test to determine the constitutionality for nativity scenes, a test that hasn't been used before, and our press release goes into some detail on that, but they're basically hearkening to the very bad Supreme Court decision 2 years ago excusing a huge cross on public property and saying that the Lemon Test, which says there has to be a secular purpose and it can't show endorsement, is basically dead, and we can't use that test anymore to decide the constitutionality of nativity displays. So not a good decision.
So, Don't Misunderstand Me, that's the name of this blues tune we're listening to by the Madtown Mannish Boys. And we're going to take a break, and after the break, we're going to talk with FFRF attorney Ryan Jane about our request that the Wisconsin Department of Justice launch a statewide probe into Roman Catholic clergy's serial sexual abuse and cover-up.
And then we are going to hear a devastating retelling by Philip Appleman of the story of Noah.
I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective organization of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate. Phone 1-800-335-4021, 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
Margaret Sanger's motto was, "No gods, no masters." This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylord.
I'm Dan Barker. Annie Laurie and I are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And one of the issues we deal with a lot over the years, since at least the 80s or even sooner, is the problem of the clergy molestation of children, especially, including the rape of children in their parishes. The problem is not going away. As we've been hearing the last few years, in some parts of the country, the state, like in Pennsylvania and other places, has actually formally investigated the widespread abuse and brought many of those crimes to light. The Freedom From Religion Foundation feels it's time to do the same thing in our own home state of Wisconsin. and we have now formally requested our Attorney General to begin an investigation.
And overseeing this request is Staff Attorney Ryan Jain, who's part of our strategic response team. And Ryan, can you tell us a little bit about what precipitated this request?
Certainly, and thanks for having me on the show again, although not for the most pleasant of topics to talk about. This is something that we learned about in De Pere, Wisconsin, where Nate Lindstrom is the name of a man who, when he was younger, was abused by priests at the St. Norbert Abbey in De Pere. And the Green Bay Gazette did this kind of expose about this. They had been investigating it for a while, and it turns out that this was well known, that this abuse was going on at the Abbey, and they really did not do nearly enough to address it, even after they found out it was going on.
Well, let's listen to part of a video put out by the Lindstrom family. The first voice you hear on this video is Nate Lindstrom telling his story before he died, and then the next voice is his brother David after he died asking for justice.
They were priests, and they were in charge of us, and I endured quite significant abuse. As a youth, you think that they would do something at some point, that they would help, but they never did. They were only interested in attacking us.
For 20 years, Nate told me about his abuse that took place by priests at the Abbey. This was done to him when he was around 14 years old as a child, and devastated him and changed his life. As a result, he ultimately could not handle things anymore and committed suicide. For a long time, the church provided pastoral support for him, therapeutic support for him. They ceased that support last year in June of 2019. He kept begging for help. We want in this case, the Norbertine priest to turn over all of their records of clergy abuse accusations to let a third party like the police or the attorney general investigate the cases, as opposed to somebody that they hire and pay to investigate the cases. And we really want the Wisconsin Childhood Victim Act to be passed. The Norbertines knew what had happened. They paid him $420,000 in pastoral support and care over a 10-year period. Why was that done if nothing occurred?
So, Ryan, tell us more about what the Freedom from Religion Foundation is asking the Wisconsin Department of Justice to do.
So what we want the Department of Justice to do is to follow the lead of many other states in recognizing that this is a widespread, serious, and immediate problem that the church is never going to fix by itself. So we want the Wisconsin DOJ to initiate a formal investigation of the Catholic Church in Wisconsin. We've seen this in other states. We also asked for it at a national level with the prior administration, and they did not do it, but we will be asking the current administration as well. So we are asking Josh Call, the Attorney General, to take the lead in looking at this and saying, as Nate's brother there was saying, that there is clearly a cultural problem here within the church, and the church is not taking steps to correct it. There has to be an outside third-party secular authority to get involved and figure out what needs to be done to stop this.
So I've read that, or I heard that the church actually commissioned its own investigation, and the investigation they paid for came back and said the charges were not credible. Is that right?
That's right. And this is a trend that we've seen around the world, frankly, with the Catholic Church. There are a lot of people who are praising the Pope for internal investigations. You know, sometimes they are turning things up, or they're saying, yeah, there clearly was a pattern of abuse going on. But typically when that happens, it's after the abusers are long dead or are already in jail. So it's no skin off the church's back to reveal it at that point. And typically it's when the facts are just flatly undeniable. But the usual circumstance is like with Nate's case, where the abuse happens, it gets reported, but the only people who know about it are the other leaders in the church who were reported to. So when the investigators go and talk to them and say, you know, 20 years ago, did this happen? What was told to you? It's hard to keep things to say that there's, you know, an undeniable factual situation. So you often end up with this circumstance where the internal report just says, well, it's not conclusive. It's not totally clear. And of course, that's what they want to say. They want to be able to say that the factual allegations aren't clear.
But this is somebody who had a history of telling people about this for 20 years, who was being paid for therapy by the church, and they withdrew it. So it seems like they are on very rocky ground here. Our letter to Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call does point out that 21 states, and as well as D.C., have looked into this issue since 2002, and Wisconsin has not. And aren't there some countries as well, Ryan?
Yes. So the one that most recently comes to mind is Ireland, and there are others as well that on the national level has said this is a widespread problem. And one of the big reasons for that is that a trend we've seen in the Catholic Church throughout the whole world, going back decades, is this shifting of abusers around. And this has been discussed in a lot of different exposés of the practice, where they will, when they reach a point where they can't deny the abuse anymore, what they'll do is they'll try to appease the victims by saying this person's not going to be a priest here anymore, and they get rid of them. But then what they will often do is just move them to a different part of the world and let the abuse continue there. So you can't, you know, even local authorities can't do anything about that. You need state and federal government to try to crack that down.
Playing musical chairs. Well, thank you, Ryan. Very important cause, and we'll keep you posted. We should be asking the USAG again, as we did last year or the year before, with this change in administration, to do a national investigation as well. So we'll be planning to do that as well.
Well, thanks, Ryan. So, doing good work, and I hope we hear from the Attorney General. Stay tuned. We're going to hear Philip Appleman and his wife Marjorie performing the hilarious poem Noah, and after that, the actor Hal Holbrook performs Mark Twain's really funny comments on religion. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
Hello, this is Janine Garofalo. Are you tired of right-wing politicians who desperately want to impose their religious beliefs on the rest of us? I know I am. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Join the fight and call the Freedom From Religion Foundation toll-free at 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation website at ffrf.org. That's www.ffrf.org. Proud to be an atheist, Janine Garofalo.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. This week is the anniversary of the birth date of the brilliant poet and lovely human being, Philip Appleman, who died last year at 94. He was born February 8, 1926. And he was a leading Darwin scholar as well as a poet, a very widely published poet, and a good friend. And you can actually watch his interview on Bill Moyers online. Just Google Philip Appleman and Bill Moyers and meet him. And he recites poetry, but he did this recording for us with his wife, Marjorie. The music is by you, Dan, and
Abigail Cantor
on the clarinet. It's a retelling, a devastating retelling of Noah.
In anticipation of Darwin's birthday next week on February 12th, let's listen to Philip and Marjorie Appleman reading the Philip Appleman poem, Noah.
Noah. Noah, seed of Methuselah, already 600 years old, more than a little weary from all that virtuous living. Then a finger out of the clouds pokes down at him, and a voice full of blood and bones bullies the stony hillside.
Make thee an ark of gopher wood.
Details follow in that same bossy baritone.
The boat shall be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 3 decks, 1 window, 1 door.
And then the voice tells him why. His sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, just cannot handle this news. Japheth whispers,
He's going to drown them all? Every last woman and child? What for?
Noah's mind is not what it used to be. Lately, it strays like a lost lamb, his ancient voice a bleat.
Wickedness. I think that's what he said. Yes, wickedness.
Too vague for Japheth.
But wicked how? I mean, what are the charges?
The old brow wrinkles again.
Evil, that's what he said. Corruption, violence. Violence? What do you call this killer flood? He's going to murder the lot of them just for making a few mistakes? For being human?
Now Japheth is really riled. Being the youngest, he still has a lot of drinking pals around. Enos and Jared and sexy Ada and his pretty young neighbor, Zillah. Together they'd put away many a goatskin of red wine under the big desert stars. Besides, being a kid, a mere 90 years old, he still likes to stump his father with embarrassing questions.
Listen, Dad, I thought you said he was omniscient. Well, then, wouldn't he have foreseen all this? And if he did, why did he make us the way we are in the first place?
Shem, the firstborn, and something of a prig, speaks up.
Ours not to reason why, ours but to build the ark.
Japheth scowls.
That's another thing. Just what is an ark? I mean, we're desert people, after all, nomads. Living out here in this miserable, dry scrub with our smelly goats and camels, I never saw a boat in my life.
Noah quavers.
I saw one once, but I don't remember it very well. That was 400 years ago. Or was it 5? Let's see.
Ham, always the practical one, says...
It can't be that hard. An ordinary boat, we'll mock one up. You need a keel, that's it. You begin with a keel of gopher wood, and the rest is easy. Ribs and planks, pitch, decking. Don't worry, Dad, I'll handle it.
So finally, they have themselves an ark, and God says,
Good work, Noah. Now get the animals. Clean beasts, 7 of a kind. Unclean, just 2, but make sure they're male and female, you got that straight. And hurry it up so I can get the drowning started.
Think of it. They're living out there in that gritty wilderness, and all of a sudden they're supposed to come up with 2 elephants. Or is it more? Japheth calls.
Shem, is the elephant a clean or an unclean animal? If it's clean, that means 7 of them, and the ark is in trouble. And how about rhinos and hippos? What do we do about the dinosaurs? How do we get a brontosaurus up the gangplank?
Japheth loves raising problems that Noah hasn't thought of at all.
Oh, by the way, Dad, how are we going to keep the lions away from the lambs?
It's not just a headache. It's a nightmare. Just think of poor Ham after all of his angst and sweat getting the ark assembled and then having to trudge off to the Congo and the Amazon to round up all those tricky long-tailed leapers there in the jungle greenery. Gibbons, orangutans, gorillas, baboons, chimps, howler monkeys, capuchins, mandrills, tamarins. And Shem, dutiful Shem, in charge of the other mammals, the giraffes, the horses, zebras, quaggas, tapirs, bison, the pumas, bears, shrews, raccoons, weasels, thousands of species of mammals. And Japheth out there on the cliffs and treetops, trying to snare the birds, the eagles, condors, hawks, buzzards, vultures, thousands upon thousands of hyperkinetic birds. Well, it's pretty clear, isn't it, that there's a space problem here? A boat only 450 feet long, already buzzing and bleating and squeaking and mooing and grunting and mewing and hissing and cooing and croaking and roaring and peeping and howling and chirping and snarling and clucking and growling, and the crocodiles aren't back from the Nile yet, or the iguanas from the islands, or the kangaroos or koalas, or the 30 different species of rattlesnakes, or the tortoises, salamanders, centipedes, toads. It takes some doing all that, but Ham comes back with them. And wouldn't you know, it's Japheth who opens up, so to speak, the can of worms.
Dad, there are thousands of species of worms. Who's going digging for them? And oh yes, how about the insects?
Shem rebels at last.
Insects? Dad, do we have to save insects?
Noah, faithful servant, quotes the word.
Every living thing.
Japheth ticks away at his roster.
So far, we've got dragonflies, damselflies, locusts and aphids, grasshoppers, mantises, crickets and termites. Wait a minute. Termites? We're going to save termites in a wooden boat?
But Japheth knows that arguing with Noah is like driving a nail into chicken soup. He shrugs and carries on.
Dad, we haven't even scratched the surface. There must be a million species of insects out there. Even if we unload all the other animals, the insects alone will sink the ark.
But the ark was not floating on fact. It was floating on faith. That is to say, on fiction. And in fiction, the insects went aboard. And a year's supply of hay for the elephants, a year's bananas for the monkeys, and so on. Japheth says,
well, that's that. But you still haven't answered my question. What will the meat eaters eat?
Noah replies in history's least appropriate trope.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. All aboard now. It's starting to sprinkle.
12 hard months that strange menagerie lived in the ark. The 16,000 hungry birds lusting for the 2 million insects, and the 12,000 snakes and lizards nipping at the 7,000 mammals, and everyone slipping and sliding around on the 64,000 worms and the 100,000 spiders, and Noah driving everyone buggy, repeating every morning as if he just thought of it.
Well, we're all in the same boat.
It was a long, long year for those weary men and their bedraggled wives, feeding the gerbils and hamsters, cleaning the thousands of cages, keeping the jaguars away from the gazelles, the grizzlies away from the cottontails. Everything aboard, after all, was an endangered species. But finally the waters subsided, the dove fluttered off and never returned, the gangplank slid down to Ararat, and the animals scampered out to the muddy, corpse-ridden earth.
And Noah, burning a lamb on his altar under that mocking rainbow, cannot forget that he rescued the snakes and spiders, but he let Enoch and Jubal and Canaan and Lamech and their wives and innocent children go to a soggy grave. And Noah knows in his tired bones that now he will have to be fruitful once more and multiply and replenish the earth with a pure new race of people who would never, never sin again. For if they did, all that killing would be for nothing, a terrible embarrassment to God.
That was Philip and Marjorie Appleman performing Philip's poem, Noah. That poem, by the way, is available on the FFRF CD, Beware of Dogma. So we're going to take a break, and after the break, we're going to hear Hal Holbrook, who died last month, portraying Mark Twain's very wry and very funny comments on religion. And this is the music by the Madtown Manish Boys. It's called Sorry, Sorry. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more Free Thought Radio.
I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute, where no religious body seeks to impose its will, directly or indirectly, upon the general populace.
Let's restore respect for America's secular roots. Help the Freedom From Religion Foundation defend the wall of separation between state and church. Join us at FFRF.org. Freedom depends on freethinkers.
It ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
The actor Hal Holbrook died last month at the age of 95. He played a number of movie roles, including Deep Throat in All the President's Men. But Hal Holbrook was best known for his Tony Award-winning portrayal of Mark Twain, a show that he took on the road for more than 60 years.
Let's listen to Hal Holbrook as Mark Twain commenting on religion.
Man is really the most interesting jackass there is. It's his idea, you see, that the deity sits up nights to admire him. He's the creator's pet. Now you may wonder why. Well, because of his intellect. Man is the reasoning animal. Such is the claim, though I do think that's open to dispute. I've been studying this reasoning animal for years now, and I find the results humiliating. Well, for example, I experimented with a cat and a dog, taught them to be friends, then I put them in a cage. I introduced a rabbit. In an hour, they were friends. Then I added a fox, a goose, a squirrel, some doves, a kangaroo, and finally a monkey. They live together in peace. Well, next I caught an Irish Catholic and put him in a cage. And as soon as he seemed tame, I added a Presbyterian. And then a Turk from Constantinople, a Methodist from the wilds of Arkansas, a Buddhist from China, and finally a Salvation Army colonel. Why, when I come back, there wasn't a specimen left alive. These reasoning animals had disagreed on a theological detail and carried the matter to a higher court. Because you see, man is also the religious animal. He's the only one that's got the true religion, several of them.
And that's Hal Holbrook portraying Mark Twain, talking about religion.
So I had the pleasure of seeing this in person when he was touring. For some reason, Dan, you weren't there. And I got taken backstage, and I have my picture. We tweeted it on the FFRF Twitter yesterday. But I have to say that because the stagehand was a friend of my sister-in-law, I was able to correspond with Hal Holbrook to invite him to speak at a convention, maybe do the performance, or just the part on whatever he wanted to do. And did I ever get a rebuke? And
Hal Holbrook sent
yes.
me a rebuke?
Yeah, oh yeah. He was very insulted that an atheist agnostic group would want to claim Mark Twain, first of all. And but the interesting thing is that it had his name on it, but no address. There was no way for me to write back and say, well, you kind of are interpreting Mark Twain's views on religion here in this letter. But still, warm feelings toward him. He didn't like atheists.
Well, he had to know, though,
Holbrook
that Mark Twain was so...
was a free thinker, but...
Well, Mark
no,
Twain...
he just didn't like us. But I do admire his work, and you cannot forget him in All the President's Men.
Well, and then Mark Twain, of course, said, faith is believing what
you know
ain't so.
Yeah.
And I was just reading his Letters from the Earth, which was so irreverent that he instructed that it not be published till after his death.
Yeah, I think it was like 75 years after his death, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then there was a version published that was
50.
Watered down because the relatives were
mm-hmm.
nervous. But I have the version now. You can get a Letter from the Earth, which is quite irreverent, with Adam and Eve.
Oh, he has so many famous speeches about religion, and of course Hal Holbrook memorized some of them. I think he just didn't like FFRF, so much for that.
Well, maybe he was portraying the character, but not necessarily agreeing with the views of the character.
Apparently not.
So.
But still a very, very talented guy, and he did a lot to educate and spread mirth in portraying Mark Twain.
So that's our show for today. Thank you for listening. We want to thank listeners all over the country, in Philadelphia and in the Pennsylvania, New Jersey area, to WOOMLP, that's 92.9. Right here in Madison, Wisconsin, WIDFM and WMUULP. And then in Janesville, Wisconsin, WADR Community Radio. Over in Central Texas, where Texas A&M is, in College Station, Bryan, Texas, to KEOS. In Central Missouri, KOPN. And then a new station in Eugene, Oregon, KEPW 97.3. Another new station, San Marcos, Texas, KZSM. WOOL Black Sheep Radio in Bellows Falls, Vermont, and New Hampshire. And hello to listeners in Ithaca, New York, to WRFI. And, of course, to your many thousands of podcast listeners, please give us a thumbs up on your podcast provider and tell your friends to learn more about Freethought Radio at ffrf.org/radio.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org, or just join us. When you go to our website, there's a donate link that takes you to the membership. Memberships are what we really are requesting, so that we can work together and correct things in this country, get us back on the secular track, and educate the public about using reason and not religion for social policy. Tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday.